Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to Health and Safety Conversations. Here's your host, Tom Bourne.
Hi, and welcome to Health and Safety Conversations. I'm your host, Tom Bourne, and with me today is the marvellous Bede Kamik Elliott. Bede, how are you?
I'm superb.
You're superb.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, we wouldn't have missed it for the world. So, Bede, whereabouts are you located?
I'm currently in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Christchurch. And what's the weather like in Christchurch in December?
Look, it's 30 degrees today. It's a beautiful northwest, which is a warm wind.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a beautiful day.
Fantastic.
Clear blue skies.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Bede, I met you at the AIH Safety Symposium in Perth recently. And I thought it might be nice if you could come on and talk to us a little bit about yourself and what you're currently doing. So for those who don't know you yet, can you give us a little bit about your professional journey and what you're currently doing?
Sure. Do you want me to start at the beginning?
Start at the beginning.
I can do a potted history. So I did a marketing degree, and 6 months before I finished my degree, I had a mentor at the time, and I sat down with him and I said, what do you think I should do post-university? And he said, I think you should sell used cars on commission. And I looked at him like he was crazy, and I asked him why, and he said, because your emotional growth as you learn to sell will mean by the time you're 30, you will outstrip all of the people who go and get jobs selling beer to pubs and drive around in fancy company cars. So I didn't do that. I ended up selling photocopiers, and not selling very many, I might add. I was 21. It was all a bit disastrous. But I eventually conquered, to a degree, the sales thing. And then I was a sales manager in a steel business, and I had a team of 9 people. So I was 23, ranging from 33 to 66.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I was a human resources guy in London, where I did culture change programs and business process reengineering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a published author. I wrote a book for young people about success, which is published in the UK and Brazil, of all places. And came back from the UK, moved to Wellington, New Zealand, and got a job with the equivalent of Telstra called Telecom. And human resources development. And the first day I walked in to my boss's office, and he said, right, I want you to tell us how the internet is going to impact how we manage people. And so this was in April 1998. So the internet was new. We were 3 years away from the peak of the NASDAQ before it crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a massive gold rush. And after 3 months of that, I was like, I want to be an internet entrepreneur. And I spent the next 4 years developing ideas on the side, et cetera. And one of those was get into security. And the thing that we did was security. We started a company called C Digital. Mm-hmm. And what C Digital does, and what we still have a real specialist element to, is we do remote video monitoring. So we replace security guards on industrial sites. So instead of having people, we automate that. And we do that for a monthly fee. And that has been a very successful niche business. So in 2019, I sat down with one of my customers who's a food processing, a dairy plant. And I said, what would you like to know about that's not security related? And he said, could you tell us if people wash their hands prior to entering our food processing hall? So food processing businesses have a thing called a red line. And a red line is where hygiene standards change. So you need to wear a hairnet or a white coat and gumboots, and you have to wash your hands for 20 seconds mm-hmm. with soap. And so 3 months later, where I produced this graph and put it in front of him and say, and he says, what am I looking at? And I said, 88% of people are not washing their hands at all, or 4 seconds or less. He went gray, started muttering under his breath. And so that was the first AI application that we did, and we called it WashRite. Mm-hmm. 6 months down the track, trying to sell this thing, couldn't get any buyers for it. People weren't prepared to pay for it, bizarrely, but that's what happened. One of our security customers had a fatality. So it was a Friday afternoon, a 16-year-old unlicensed forklift driver, a temp, got on a forklift and while racing it, rolled it and killed himself instantly on their site. And as it turned out, the previous 6 months, every Friday afternoon, so this is a 40,000 square meter warehouse, every Friday afternoon, there was a racing syndicate with a leaderboard and everything, and these guys were doing laps and trying to beat each other on forklifts. Mm-hmm. And sitting down with the CEO, and all of this stuff is recorded in full Technicolor glory. Sitting down with the CEO, who was absolutely wrecked by this young man's untimely death under his watch. He was absolutely marked by it and still is to this day. He said, how did I not know? And then he said, well, what technology exists for us to know? And so we looked around, we couldn't find anything, and that has now become CEO. So CEO is the Latin word to know. And what CEO does, it is ingests CCTV footage,
yep,
and analyzes it using a suite of AI tools to inform operational managers and health and safety professionals about the efficacy of their critical risk controls. So organizations go to great efforts to manage risk, and they have critical risk controls in place. And invariably, they involve a behavioral element. And so what CEO does is informs, are people behaving in the way that we expect them to, and then gives them incredible insights into how work design may be impacting behavior.
Okay.
So that's CEO.
No, that's excellent, excellent. I'm just curious. I may have spent a considerable amount of my inverted commas career in enforcement and security roles to a lesser degree, but mainly enforcement compliance roles. I found CCTV and its elements brilliant for capturing things historically,
mm-hmm.
and brilliant for, I don't know, sorting out conflicting stories after the event.
Mm-hmm.
Is the limitation with this that we cannot prevent things from happening by looking at the footage? Or is by looking at the footage, can we actually prevent things from happening in the future?
So it's a really good question. So that there's two dimensions to that. So one dimension is using AI as a real-time detector.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll park that to the side. What the experience, and I'm going to come back to that. I'm not going to leave it on the side. I'm going to come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
What the experience of our customers is that they get sort of three pieces of key information from the historical piece. Yep. One is they get to see the quantum of the issue. So let's say, let's take a really simple use case, mm-hmm. people maintaining a 3-meter exclusion area around a forklift.
Yep.
Okay, so that's a simple, that's a fairly simple use case where an engineered separation isn't appropriate, where people have to, they're packing a pallet or whatever it is. So let's say you can't engineer out of that. So people need to behave accordingly. So what solutions like CO gives you is insights into how is that behavior being carried out? Is it working? Are your toolbox meetings and your training and your kicking of shins, are you sort of getting the message through? So there's that, they give a sense of efficacy of your efforts. And then also, because CO generates automatic data on the number of events and then categorizes them according to what we call salience, which is an algorithmic measure of danger, you get to see when you make an effort, a change management effort, you get to see the data change. And the third thing is huge and important insights into work design. So if you have a warehouse and it's simply too small, well, you can toolbox as much as you like, but if there's no room, there's no room. And what that does is it gives operational managers and then executives insights into how our environment is creating behavior. And those insights were always available, but at great cost. And this thing automatically gives insights 24/7. And so we, despite its post-fact, the post-fact is still a predictor of the future. Because these are all near misses or near hit events that you can become extremely complacent about and choose to ignore and go, well, that's just the way we do things. That what CO does is it exposes those. So now going to the real time thing. Now it is my position that some use cases are real time applicable. So we're working on a use case in a manufacturing plant and we're about to do this project. So there's a machine and it is behind a big yellow set of barriers, big fences. And that machine has to be depowered and locked out prior to a person going inside that area. So we can tell the status of the locked out. We, from their PLC system, we know that the thing's locked out and we're looking for real-time person inside there. Now, that is a perfect use case for real-time AI, where if that condition's not met and there's a person in there, take action, shut the machine down, kill the power, sound an alarm, notify someone or whatever. So, or another really straightforward use case, and this is an experience I had a number of months ago where I was speaking to a director of a publicly listed logistics business that listed in New Zealand and Australia. And she said to me, oh, we've got really good engineered separation between people and forklifts. We've just spent X number of millions on new walkways throughout every facility. So, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. I roll into one of their sites with the site manager, the most senior person on the site. We proceed to walk through the site, ignoring all the walkways straight through the middle of the working area. So that was a great example of workers done versus workers imagined. So she's workers imagined, and we just did the work. So AI in that context, a person in an area that you don't want people interacting with some form of machinery, absolutely you can react in real time.
Good.
To that type of thing. And then there's other use cases that rely on for something like CO to know, you need the full history of the behavior to then be analyzed. And an example I'd use is a person going inside a shipping container followed by a forklift.
Mm.
And do they come out? What order do they go in? That's not, in terms of the technology, extraordinarily to do real time. So you wouldn't apply it to that. Yeah, does that answer that?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I can see a lot of benefits of this from things like, I don't know, you talked about training. That's a classic example. You've introduced training, but how effective is it? Because every supervisor, every manager I've ever spoken to, they tell me they don't have the time to stand there and watch their crew the whole shift. Not only that, no one wants to be supervised the whole crew.
No.
So I can see that the advantage of that, to see if something's actually that's been implemented has been effective. And this could be from policy and procedure change to anything. I can absolutely crystal clear see that. Something my wife actually said to me last night, she said, a lot of people see cameras and recording and monitoring and stuff like that as intruding on them and basically an infringement on liberties. But she said, maybe they should look at it like it's protecting them. It's protecting them from false accusations, allegations, finding out what the truth of the matter is in any situation, investigation that may happen down the track. And I went,
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I really thought about that, but that's a classic case. Is that something that technology can do as well?
Absolutely. And look, I think we have to be judicious and act ethically when it comes to AI. And so I'll give you a couple of examples. We were asked by a company, this is a food processor, and they asked us seriously, Could we use CO to tell us who the 10% of people are of our employees who leave the processing floor to go have a smoke or go to the toilet for extended periods of time during a shift? And I looked at them wide-eyed and went, do you know who they are? And they went, yes. And I was like, well, you deal with that. That's a performance management issue.
Yeah.
And absolutely not. We would not develop something. Yes, we could, but we wouldn't.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't develop something that keeps track of smoko times or something like that. The key it comes down to usage. So one thing we're very clear about with our customers is that the information that CO produces, that gives two insights. One for the individuals concerned, where the manager will sit down with John and James, like James was on the forklift and John is the person that almost got hit, and show them an event. And every single time, that's like seeing with new eyes, and they will go, I had no idea it was so dangerous. Mm. And looking at it like this, wow, it's completely opened my eyes to the risk that we both took around each other. And so that's important. And then the other point we make with those managers is you must not use this as a stick. Mm. It has to be used to inform coaching and education and those positive conversations, and also to inform work design. So we had a, this is a real example, this is from a couple of months ago, a client of ours who noticed at 3 o'clock every day, they were getting a huge number of 3 meter events, people too close to forklifts. And they did a bit of investigation. The health and safety guy spoke to operational people and said, what happens at 3 o'clock on site? And they said, oh, that's a shift change. And so this is a logistics company with small items that are hand-picked. So you've got 30 to 40 people in shelves in a, say, 30,000 square meter warehouse. And at 3 o'clock, they come out and they go to a place. And that place is where they plug in their scanners and their tablets and their RT radios. At the same time, you've got 30 to 40 people arriving to pick up the charge devices on the other side of the table and go. And so you've got a group of 30 to 80 people congregating in the single spot and forklifts buzzing in and out of roller doors, delivering stuff onto trucks. So with that insight, they went, ah, why don't we change? Why don't we create three different charging spaces? So they now have three spots and they have a simple principle. You pick, you collect your device closest to this, to the lane that you're going to be going working in. And so that's dispersed the crowd and solved the issue.
Yep. Yep.
It's a very simple work design change that led to a profound change in health and safety risk.
Is this something that ergonomists might benefit from when they're thinking about proposing changes in workplace layout and bringing in new plant and equipment within a facility?
Absolutely. In fact, it's one of the things we're beginning to give serious thought to, and we'll do some development on in the new year, showing desire lines and heat mapping. What people how they naturally behave, showing that, creating visualizations of that to give insights into, if you're going to design a workplace, don't you want to design it in such a way that people will naturally behave in that way, in that space? So you might think that you want to put your walkway in this area. In actual fact, it's counterintuitively, you put it over there. And we have an interesting insight from another customer where they put in bollards.
Mm.
And those bollards were designed to protect pedestrians from forklifts that were going, devanning containers just outside roller doors.
Yep.
And what they realized is that they did nothing of the sort, because the forklifts were coming in and they were going from A to B as fast as possible, and they were running right across these safe spaces. And the CO insights, they went, that's why we've got so many of these events. And they ended up putting the bollards in, pulling them out of the ground at great expense and shifting them elsewhere to overcome the desire lines of the forklift.
Mm.
It forced the forklift driver to take a slightly longer route. And that meant that the pedestrian exclusion zone actually functioned as it should.
Yeah. Have you? Something I could see a possible use for as well. Have you thought about a collaboration with, well, there's a couple of companies that do wearable technology like Suta. There's Exo Advantage, which is a lovely New Zealand company, and they do wearables.
Yep.
Is there any way that you could perhaps link those technologies together? So if someone's consistently adopting or being positioned in an awkward or an injury-prone manner, that we're able to actually, the AI can actually zoom in on the user, and we can actually get real-time footage of what's actually going on, not as, again, as a stick, but to work out what's actually happening and what the job or the task is that's encouraging the user for that unsafe behavior.
Absolutely. So that is eminently doable. We haven't gone, so in terms of ergonomics, we haven't gone down that using pure AI, mm-hmm. pure cameras to do that. We haven't gone there. I have actually serious reservations about the efficacy of that, because it is all about the camera angle, and mm-hmm. most places don't have suitable camera angles to do a proper job. So I think, and so when it comes to ergonomics, a wearable device with all the tracking that a wearable device gives you is the solution. However, you could link that wearable device to the CCTV to give a video of the event as it's occurring, and for forensic analysis later on. So you're not using AI, you're using the sensor and then linking those together into the CO platform for review and analysis.
Okay. One of the other things I think may be useful is we have these vast tracts of mine sites in Australia. You know, mm-hmm. we're talking about conveyor belts that go tens, 20s, kilometers. Hundreds of kilometers. And people actually have to maintain these things. And it's, you can imagine, it's a supervisor of a task can be there at any site when a crew's carrying out work on any particular area. It's just highly unlikely logistically. Mm-hmm. Is there any possibility that we could use this sort of technology? If this, we know the crews, a crew's going to be working on an asset area, that we could actually in real time monitor their actions, such as, I don't know, not going in certain exclusion zones, isolating equipment before they start working on it. Because these things are fundamental, but it's amazing how many times you hear about injuries that are occurring because those little things just aren't happening.
Those little behaviours. Yeah, so the answer is yes, and I'll put a big asterisk, a big but. It requires CCTV infrastructure to be able to see it. And it needs to be the right angle. If you let's just take the conveyor needs to be locked out and depowered, and there needs to be someone's lockout tag over the power point of the power switch for the conveyor. You need the right angle on CCTV to be able to see it. And over a 5, 20, you know, 30-kilometer conveyor, it would be ruinous to put CCTV over that.
So
that's a major issue. But whereas when it's a fixed location, imagine a manufacturing line within a warehouse, it's not easy, but it's simple to do. And most people have their infrastructure. You absolutely could use something like CO for exactly that use case. Presence of, I mean, you know, there's constant reports about guarding that's removed from machines and remains. It was being repaired, and then someone got caught. And there was a fatality recently in New Zealand where a person got caught in a conveyor. The guarding had been removed for repainting or some issue. So you could use AI for detecting presence of guards, for example. Are they all in place before starting the conveyor? You know, it's kind of limitless. It's limited by getting the camera views in the right place. And some of it is just impractical.
Yeah, I can understand that. What's in the pipeline for CO in the future?
Oh, look, we have a tortuous technology map of all sorts of stuff. We looking to just build out use cases. So there's about three or four global competitors in this space, which is the big world there. And some of them have been at this longer, and some of them have massive venture funding. Like one of them has just raised $65 million US Series B, valuing them at $300 million. And what they're all doing, though, is building an appliance with generic rules. So like detecting things like, is someone wearing a high-vis vest or a hard hat? One of them has detecting the gloves and someone wearing a respirator when they're handling chemicals in a certain area, that type of stuff. We are choosing to focus on more complex and customized things for each customer. So we're doing a project with a port and we are integrating with the crane management system. And we are telling them when there's a container over the drop zone. So it's a thing called a lash platform. And the people who operate in that are called lashes. And what they do is they take the locking nuts off the bottom of the container when it comes off the ship. And if a container comes off the ship, let's say the locking nuts not undone properly off the ship and two containers get picked up, and it goes over the lash platform and there's people outside of their safe zones, the likelihood of them surviving, it'd be good luck and good management. So we are integrating with the crane control system. So the crane tells us when it's danger zone and we're looking for people on the lash platform. And that will eventually become a real-time thing and we'll probably be able to control the crane. If there's a person and the crane thinks it's dangerous, the crane won't be able to move.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
That type of thing. So we're choosing to go for more complex engineering controls over time and using AI where it makes sense to, because not every solution is an AI solution. So let's go back to the ergonomics example. That's a sensor solution. I don't think AI is a pro. People have tried, and I'm sure they think that it works, but I just don't. In practical terms, I'm not a believer that AI is the right answer for that. So we have plans for lots and lots of rules and controls and that make use of CO. And then we've got a whole pile of things we want to do with our app around work design and. It's really limitless.
Very good, yeah. Very good. All right. Bede, we're running low on time. So I'd like to thank you very much for coming on and talking to us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to our next update.
Thanks for listening to Health and Safety Conversations with Tom Bourne. Until next time, stay safe and enjoy the rest of your week.